There was an agreement on climate change at the G8 summit in Germany today. Leaders of the world's richest industrialized nations acknowledged that global greenhouse gas emissions must be cut substantially. But that's as specific as the G8's final communique on the subject gets. It is less than what Europeans were pushing for, but something that President Bush could sign off on. NPR's Emily Harris reports.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel is hosting this meeting, but that doesn't mean she got her way on climate change. Still, she said she was happy to get close.
None of these documents are binding here, but it's the political resolution to arrange binding goals in a process. And I believe nobody can escape this agreement. This political resolution here, this is a giant step forward.
Europe, Japan, and Canada had pushed for a tangible target, an agreement that by the middle of this century, global levels of greenhouse gases would be reduced to half their 1990 levels. That number is in the G8 leaders' statement, not as a firm commitment, but as something to seriously consider when setting emission reduction goals in the next couple of years.
When you see the words, "we will seriously consider" in a communique, that means the proposal's been rejected.
Philip Clapp is president of the Washington-based National Environmental Trust.
There is nothing that anyone can be held accountable for in this communique.
But, he says, this G8 statement on climate change is part of an ongoing process, still aiming for an agreement to replace the current mechanism for cutting greenhouse gases. That's the Kyoto Protocol, which runs out in 2012. Most of the issues the G8 leaders take on are big and long-term. Many protesters outside the summit say because these issues, like climate change and HIV/AIDS, are so big, it's plain wrong that a small group of powerful leaders essentially set the agenda for the rest of the world. But there is also another line of thinking. Get the G8 countries to make specific promises and stick to them.
My expectation is that the G8 must come up with a long-term funding mechanism.
At a workshop on AIDS at an alternative G8 summit in nearby Rostock, panel members said they want the G8 to make good on earlier pledges. Ken Sarney from South Africa wants to see promises made 2 years ago to substantially increase development assistance fulfilled.
They're good in promising and also good in breaking them. On the ground, it means that we are going to see more and more people dying.
One G8 promise particularly interests her, getting as close as possible to providing treatment for every person with HIV or AIDS who needs it by 2010. About 5 million people in the developing world who need HIV or AIDS treatment don't get it now. Eve Odetta with Oxfam Africa says changing that situation is doable.
It is achievable if the donor countries prioritize it. We have only 3 years to go. If donor countries could come together and channel all the funding and honor their commitments and honor the targets that they've already set themselves, then it is achievable.
But it will not be easy. Jürgen Wilhelm, a German expert in development aid, is skeptical the G8 leaders can make good on that promise. But he says the billions of dollars pledged would only solve part of the problem.
It's not all money which can, solve the problems in the developing countries, and especially HIV/AIDS needs much more.
For example, getting permission from wealthy nations to make generic AIDS drugs. But Wilhelm says the most important thing is to make sure issues of concern to developing countries are known and understood by the powerful ones. Tomorrow, G8 leaders sit down with the heads of Egypt, Algeria, Senegal, Ghana, and Nigeria. Today, German Chancellor Merkel said it's not been easy even getting Africa so high on the agenda. Emily Harris, NPR News, Königsborn, Germany.